This week on SIW Radio from SecurityInfoWatch.com, we have with us George Fletcher, Director of Business Development for GPREX, the organizer of the Expo Seguridad Mexico. We also have Andrea Ferrando, Marketing Director for GPREX Expo Seguridad Mexico. They just came back from the Expo a little over a month ago. It was April 21st through 23rd in Mexico City. And we wanted to talk with George and Andrea a little bit today about the Expo and also about the Latin American market. So, George and Andrea, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, and thanks for having us today.
Thank you for being here.
Well, tell us a little bit about the show. In your own words, who is this show really aimed for?
This is a professional security event. It's a B2B type event, so it is an industrial trade show that isn't open to the public. And similarly, similar to U.S. And other international shows, it's directed to the community of security practitioners and users, I guess, to sum it up. So you could say it's an integrator dealer as well as an end-user event.
And this has, of course, become the dominant event for that market. Well, how long has it been going on?
It started in 2003. It's so it's going into its the eighth event next year in 2010. And so it's been, it had interesting beginnings because there was no dominant trade show for that market, even though it was one of the primary markets in all of the region. And there was no dominant trade show at that point in time. And the year Expo Seguridad was launched, I guess three other people decided to do the same thing. So we launched in an environment where the market had no show to four trade shows in 1 year. And, you know, we knew over time that this probably wouldn't sustain itself. And, you know, as time has gone by, we've ended up with a market with two trade shows and ours probably occupying, you know, 80% to 85% of the actual square footage that's sold in these types of events in Mexico.
And it's and for our listeners, this is quite a large event. To put it in perspective, they recently announced that they had around 9,500 attendees during the 2009 event. Of course, it's scheduled again for 2010, April 20th through 22nd. And you can get some information at exposeguridadmexico.com. Well, let's talk a little bit about what we can kind of see at the show. This is obviously Mexico has a lot of security and police needs of lately that we've heard about in the U.S. How do those needs factor into the show in terms of attendance and the kind of conversations that go on during the program?
Well, let's talk a little bit. Perhaps we'll discuss a little bit about what you can expect to see at a show like this and then how the political landscape is influencing the show in Mexico per se. If you go into this show, you'll find it's very similar to what you'll see at an international show in terms of the way the vendors present themselves, the type of, you know, locations, booths they set up. They're quite professional. You'll see on the front row, you'll see most of the major, the leading global manufacturers in our industry will be on the front row and the first two or three rows for that matter. And so it'll look somewhat like a smaller version of an ISC or ASIS event or an IFSEC event. But we're almost a little more like the IFSEC event that's hosted in the UK because we have an occupational health and safety component to our show, which we started last year. So it's actually like a co-located event. It isn't under the same roof, but it's side by side, and you can access the event. You can access both events internally as well as they have separate entrances. So this is one difference, I guess, to what you'd see in North America is the fact that we have that safety component or the occupational health and safety. And like I say, you'll see most of the major manufacturers present at this event. And in fact, some of them have indicated to us that 30 to 40% of their marketing spend in Latin America in any given year is invested in this event. So they're making a significant commitment, and you see that in some of the sizes of the booths that they have. And in terms of local manufacturing, it's almost non-existent. There are a couple of manufacturers in Mexico of security equipment, one being in like electric fence type of product, and the other one is more of a GPS and a GPRS devices, which are actually a joint venture with Honeywell. So that's the only other manufacturer of the electronic type systems that we're aware of there. And you know, over, I would say easily 50% of the product that goes into the Mexican market for security users is from U.S.-based companies. If they're not U.S. manufacturers, they're certainly Asian manufacturers with U.S.-based operations that just transship into Mexico. So that's just sort of a little bit of a, you know, a feel for what you could expect to see there and how it's set up. And most of these major manufacturers, and just to cite some of them, the likes of GE, Honeywell, Tyco, Siemens, Bosch, Pelco, Samsung, you know, Axis, Sony, Panasonic, etc. Most of these have local offices in Mexico, so they have a direct presence in the market, and few, if any, of them actually go directly to market. They actually work similarly to what you see in North America, is they work through distributors and integrators to you know, get their products to market, and they just basically help create more brand awareness and position the brand and themselves in the market. So most of it is distribution-based business and some integration. And then in the rare occasion, you'll see manufacturers taking business direct, but it's mainly to finance large projects, and invariably the distributor is actually part of the equation and supplying, and they're actually compensated in the transaction as well. You have a few repping companies that will actually have a setup there, but invariably what they'll do is they'll be there and supporting the manufacturers they represent. You know, a company like LRG, for instance, a U.S.-based company, they'll have the likes of Altronics, Tane, Everfocus, and others that they represent in Mexico, and they'll have their staff roaming around the show and helping at the manufacturer booths. Then we also have the show has a strong makeup of manufacturers, but also a strong presence of local distributors. There's probably over 30 distributors that exhibit at this show of different types, and the half dozen or so of the largest distributors that are representative of the industry, the types of the ADI / Triads of North America, they're all there present. In fact, they were kind of founding partners, if you will, of the show. The four largest distributors of Mexico were the leading ones. And then we have companies such as Anixter and a few others that have that are also present there, and they have footprints from as little as 400 to as much as 2,500 square feet that they're exhibiting on. Now, if we moving on, I'm not sure if that answers the first part of your question.
Sure, I think that paints a good picture to our listeners about, you know, who, you know, what you might expect to see on the show floor.
Right. Now, in terms of what you'd see product-wise, and attendee-wise, well, the attendance, as I indicated earlier, is a cross-section of industry practitioners and users. Of the, I'd say of the 9,500 visitors, we're probably at a point of over 2,000 of them being end users of security, and dominated by the largest industries or large vertical industries in Mexico, i.e. banking, oil and gas, retail, as well as all the government. And the government encompasses not only things like police and armed forces and what have you, but it also includes utilities, ports and airports, as well as utilities and correctional facilities and that sort of thing. So you'll see all these types of these profiles of users coming into the show. From the industry perspective, you'll see owners of companies as well as management people, salespeople, and technicians. So all the, you know, most of the people that work within security organizations. And then as far as the technology, of course, we started with a strong component of, you know, intrusion, access, video, and fire-based solutions. And progressively, as we've grown, we've moved into other areas from, you know, GPS, and then going into more of the, you know, law enforcement and other type of protection, from personal safety devices to GPS. And now one of the things that we had this year, which was quite an eye-catcher, is we had an 18-wheel vehicle, a very large truck, which is a mobile command center that is being used by armed forces and police in Mexico. And it's assembled in Mexico, but it incorporates the latest in, you know, in satellite and tracking, video surveillance, radio communication technology, and everything. So the police or the army can literally plant this on a site where there's issue they're dealing with, and actually set it up as a command center to coordinate, you know, all the logistics and the operations of a group of, you know, armed forces or police. Then you'll see armored vehicles and personal protection, like body armor and all sorts of other devices of that type. So we've grown from being more electronic to you know, all more holistic security concept, if you will, in terms of the types of solutions you'll see there.
Okay. It sounds like for our listeners, that would be kind of a cross between what you might see at the ISC West type show and at ASIS, where you do see more of the protection and command center type offerings. Now, was that 18-wheel command center, was it something that attendees could tour?
Absolutely. You could actually step in and walk through the whole thing. And yeah, so and they had another one, a slightly smaller version of the same thing. So they, in fact, had two vehicles on their booth. So they took up quite a strong, quite a large piece of space, but they were also very, you know, it was one of the most visited booths during the show. And, of course, all the media, everybody that showed up from the media wanted to get on board as well. So it was well.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, in terms of that, I mean, it kind of speaks to the point of, you know, how Mexico's political and you know, policing security needs affect the show. Could you elaborate on how that political security landscape has affected Expo Seguridad?
Well, I would say the evidence is in the 2009 event very strongly. Today, the shift has been from you know, the traditional private sector spending to very much a public sector spend right now for a number of reasons that I'll get into. But, you know, in the past years, what we've seen is pretty steady growth in the market, in the security market per se, because it's a developing market that's not as mature as the U.S. market, and there are no standards or regulations that drive industry growth. So it's like they adopt de facto international standards like, you know, UL and NFPA and CE standards for anything to do with security. And, of course, with all the multinationals and other global companies that are present in Mexico, they invariably set a standard for the types of security operations and deployment of technology that they have in their facilities. So this is a factor there. But, like I say, more than being driven by regulations and standards, the market has just been driven partly by foreign investment and multinationals being there, and obviously the inherent need for public safety and security solutions in Mexico. So when we shift a little bit to address the, if you look at the current political climate and the situation in Mexico, over the last couple of years, there's been a large commitment by the government for infrastructure projects that include roads, airports, ports, and other critical infrastructure. And they committed to about $5 billion to that initiative. And then other drivers have been, on the one hand, something that's very much a public discussion now, and that being the organized crime and the war on the drugs, drug lords in Mexico. So the armed forces and the police that are combating this are being heavily equipped and with all types of things, from vehicles to all types of personal protection and armor, body armor and weapons, of course, and all the types of tactical gear they need. So that's one thing that's driving the demand, and we saw a lot of companies of that type present at the show and with a lot of public visiting their booths. And then, on the other hand, we have a strong demand in urban security type of surveillance projects that have been deployed around the country. The metro, the one of the largest recent projects, was the subway system in Mexico City, and a large tender that went out for the Mexico City urban surveillance system, which was something like 8,000 cameras, and a multi-year, in the hundreds of millions of dollars, project that's being initiated right now. So I guess, again, what I'm saying is the public sector has been driving, over the last year or so, has been driving the demand, and where certain vendors may have just tailed off a little bit with their private sector sales, they're certainly making it up with the public sector sales.
George, on that note, talk about the private sector. When we picture, you know, integration firms and security dealer firms, here in the U.S., I think we all have a fairly strong picture of the, you know, the Brinks or the Vectors or the, you know, Protection One and so forth. Is it Are the businesses fairly similar down there in terms of how they're run? That you know, they're you know large regionals typically, and you know, do a lot of marketing towards residential customers, or is it different?
Well, there's two. I see two components here. I see on the integration project side, you see very similar players like the Siemens, the Johnson Controls, Honeywells, and other such companies. They're all present in the market and bidding on large projects. So you'll see the global players, and then you'll see the local mid-sized company, or by global standards, probably a small-sized company integrator that operate in the market. And then on the other hand, if you look at the more of the residential and commercial side and intrusion systems and the like, that's fairly that's been consolidated over the last 5 years. But if you look at the number one company, ADT, which went in the last decade, they moved into Mexico and launched their dealer program. They very quickly started acquiring or growing their account base to an extent that it's probably at least 2 to 3 times larger than the second largest company. And then they tail off from there. The third largest is probably half the size as the second largest. And then, you know, a lot of small companies, probably a couple of thousand central station operations in Mexico that are quite small, 500 to 1,000 to 1,500 accounts. And the whole concept of third-party monitoring hasn't really taken off there. It's something that's starting to grow, but it hasn't taken off like you'd see in, you know, in a more mature market like North America. So I guess what I'm saying is if you look at the two different things, the integration side when companies that do projects that cater to public or private sector are one thing, and then as far as the monitoring aspect of the business service-based part of the business, it's still very much developing. And if you look at the market penetration rates on something like the residential side, they're still very low, comparatively speaking, with North America, you know, probably below 5% versus the whatever, the 20% or so that they estimate in North America.
Is that due to economics, you think?
Partly. I mean, because if you look at the demographics and you look at the income per capita in Mexico is under $9,000 a year as opposed to 30-something in the U.S. So that obviously is a driver. But having said that, there is a reasonably strong middle class by Latin American standards in Mexico. And growing, so there is certainly the potential to grow that. As proportionately, it will never be the size of a U.S. market, but in terms of market penetration, it still it can grow considerably in the you know in that middle segment in the middle class segment for mass marketing programs.
Hi, George, you mentioned that there are a lot of smaller you know monitoring and you know installation firms. Is it still ripe for entrepreneurs to go in and start new companies there, or is it the kind of marketplace where it's really only ready for consolidation type buys?
No, I think I believe it still can grow. In fact, the second largest company is a relatively new company. I want to say between 10 and 15 years old, and they grew organically, not through acquisition. But they were very smart about how they positioned themselves strategically. And one of the things they did is they worked with the government and local municipalities and were able to get some fairly large projects that involved sometimes 5,000-10,000 systems that were actually subsidized by the municipality, basic you know emergency response systems for middle or low-income housing projects, right? So there's opportunities like that that are yet to be that can be exploited in future and grow. And you know, other than the consolidation that was a result of the ADT entry in the market, there's still certainly a lot of opportunities for companies to go in and joint venture or align themselves with mid-sized players that are in the market right now. So I see it still as an opportunity. I don't think it's fully tapped into yet.
Now, that's obviously the Mexican market. Being that this is really a show that's attended not only for Central America, but also for some of South America, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are some of these trends also seen in a lot of the other Latin American countries, even you know further south than Mexico?
I would say similar. And really, market development in a lot of these countries, some... is tied somewhat, oftentimes it's tied not only to the security and the crime situation, but also to the fiscal policies and the economic reforms that these countries have had. So you look at a country, for instance, case in point, Chile, and Chile is a country that has market, you know, they've had a you know, free market for many, many years, very low entry barriers, and it's a very mature security market as compared to some of our neighboring countries like Argentina and Brazil and even Colombia, Venezuela. It's far ahead in terms of market penetration and technology adoption. So so it's not only the security situation that drives that sometimes as much as it can be market reforms. And, you know, the two giant markets in Latin America are Mexico and Brazil, the largest economies. And yet they're very different because there's not only a language and the geographic location that separates them, but, you know, Brazil has a whole web of different taxes and bureaucracy involved in importing technology into the country, and they also have some local content. They have local manufacturers of different types of security products. So, you know, so there are significant entry barriers for manufacturers and companies in Brazil as compared to Mexico, for instance, right? And then if you compare to Mexico and Chile, well, they're very similar in that respect because Mexico, the highest tariff could be in the range of 10 or 12% on different security products. And Chile is a very similar case. And another driver for Mexico, obviously, is the fact that Mexico has had a NAFTA, which has tripled trade between the U.S., Canada, and Mexico over the, you know, over the period of time that it's been implemented. So that certainly helped develop the economy and develop growth overall in that country.
Well, let's talk a little bit about some of the people who were there. You know, reading over sort of a post-event recap, we saw a few familiar names that I think folks who regularly attend the U.S. type of events will know, names like Steve Hunt, Charlie Pierce, Richard Hahn. But in terms of other folks that were there, names that might not be known in the U.S. market as well, who would you point to there?
Well, I'm just looking at some of the speakers that we had. I'll mention one among, you know, one case in point. I'll go on to a few others. But there was a lady who was a president of a nonprofit in Mexico called, I'll translate it, it's Mexico United Against Crime. And this person was a victim of her son was kidnapped and unfortunately was killed, I want to say around 10 years ago, and she decided to launch this foundation, this charity or this movement to combat crime in Mexico. And I think it was 7 years ago, the first thing she did is she organized public support around a march through the streets of Mexico to protest to the government and demand better public safety. And she got over 1 million people all dressed in white on a Sunday to protest and to march peacefully to, you know, to get the government's attention. So this movement that started today has a staff of over 100 people, and what they do is they actually they work with the government or they work with the public and as a liaison, if you will, to raise awareness of the needs in the public for safety and security in general. And Mexico created what they call their 74-point security plan or safety plan for the country that involves all sorts of things from, reforming laws and everything from the prisons to all aspects of how to create a safer environment and in Mexico. And so Mexico, this foundation, as Lady started, is very much in the forefront of representing the public and trying to hold the government accountable for, you know, you said you're going to reduce the statistics of this type of crime in major cities in Mexico. How are we doing? Let's see the statistics. And they're sort of policing, if you will, for lack of a better word, policing that process. And so the president and founder of that association actually came and she inaugurated our event. And parallel to that, we've been working with them because they have they certainly have the ear of the president of Mexico. When the new president of this association is sworn in, the president of Mexico is actually present in the ceremony. So they have the very high profile, politically speaking, and recognized among the public. So what we've tried to do with them is, additionally, we've taken ALICE, which is our endorsing association, the Latin America Security Association, and we've called on all the security associations in Mexico, like the NFPA Mexico chapter, the ASIS chapter there, and all the other types of associations, including the guarding industry, to actually come to the table with this association and try and find a way where we can get the private sector of the industry and our interests on the agenda as far as the government, because the voice of the industry per se there, if you look at the security industry, is certainly not heard at the government level. When they institute a 74-point security plan, believe me, nobody from the security community, of the larger security community, was actually at the table discussing and adding the, you know, our 2 cents worth. So we're trying to work with this organization that we know has a good profile at government level and is respected and has the ear of the congressmen and the senators in Mexico. So we're working with them to try and get higher visibility from an industry perspective. One other very interesting keynote that we had was a General Saavedra, who is a high-ranking general in the Colombian Armed Forces, and he was actually participative in the logistical part of this whole rescue operation of the well-known former Colombian presidential candidate, Betancourt, who, you know, when she was rescued, she went to France and in exile because she was of French origin. But he was involved in the planning of this pretty daring raid on inside a FARC camp and actually rescuing these hostages undercover. And it was a very successful and very, internationally talked about rescue operation. So we invited him and somebody from, the Colombian Armed Forces to come and talk in Mexico about the whole issue of taking on the drug lords, taking on guerrilla groups, and fighting the drug war per se, like Colombia's had to over the last few decades, as well as dealing with kidnap and organized crime in the country. And unfortunately, I didn't attend the whole presentation, but I just heard fantastic things about the comments about what he presented on, and he presented the whole operation and how they put it together tactically.
That sounds like a great session for information sharing there. To go back to the previous discussion about really trying to get the private sector and general public to put pressure on the government to work together with them about on issues of crime and security. In your opinion, how is that going? Is there starting to become a dialogue between the private sector and the public sector?
The other person that inaugurated the event was actually the Secretary of Public Safety for Mexico. So he's also a very high-profile figure. And he was very adamant in his speech as he inaugurated the show of the importance of combating crime in Mexico and trying to eliminate corruption in all its forms in the armed forces and in government. And he was very emphatic about the fact that technology had to play a major role in this, and how they had, the government had to use technology to leverage the manpower they have with technology and look for maximum and effective results in combating these sorts of issues. So that was very positive to hear that, because that wasn't just for the newspapers. He was, the way he delivered the speech, he was very, spoke with a lot of conviction. If you read the media, especially over the last 3 months, the two biggest things that have jumped out at about Mexico have been the issue of the crime and the amount of killing and things that are going on, in addition to the swine flu epidemic, of course. And unfortunately, Mexico hasn't had a good run in the media in the last few months. But there's an interesting couple of articles I read recently, and one was by the American Chamber of Commerce in Mexico. And putting everything in perspective, if you look at the big picture of Mexico, yes, there is organized crime in that, but part of the problem is this was always there. The issue now is that the new administration has decided to make a very strong commitment to eradicate it and take them on head on. And so this is why you see the violence, because these people are retaliating and try to fight back. But I think it's a positive. In the long run, it's going to be a very positive thing for Mexico, because if it doesn't do that, the economy is going to suffer greatly, because you'll see the confidence of U.S. and all international type manufacturers and companies that are investing in Mexico will withdraw. So this is a very important mission, and they're taking it on. And if you look at the other things going on in Mexico, the macroeconomic factors and the stability in general of the economy over the last 10 years, it's very good. And trade between Mexico and the U.S., Mexico is one of the U.S.'s largest trading partners. And so it's very much a strategic relationship there. So I think it's in both countries' best interest to look at security and prosperity as a common and shared responsibility and goal. So, I think it's notable the fact that President Obama was there within his first 60 to 90 days in office. He was down in Mexico already holding high-level discussions there and acknowledging and recognizing that the U.S. needs to partner with Mexico in combating these issues, because there's a lot of strategic reasons for that for the two countries to work together.
There absolutely are, and hopefully we'll see maybe some more U.S. attendees at the 2010 show.
It was very interesting, because you mentioned the name of Steve Hunt. He'd never been to Mexico, and of course, fueled by the media, he was somewhat reluctant to come down. And when he came down, it was a paradigm shift for him. It was very interesting to see his impressions, and he'd be a good testimonial, because he was able to see firsthand not only the country and the city, but also attend the event and see it not only as through the eyes of a keynote speaker, but also through the eyes of an attendee, as Rich Hahn can attest to as well.
Absolutely. Well, do you expect a bigger and better show in 2010?
Absolutely. We're very optimistic. We didn't get around to seeing all of the customers, but at this point we're 75% sold on a 30% increase on floor space. We're 75% sold, and there's still over 100 exhibitors that need to renew. So we're very optimistic that we're going to continue growing. This year it grew by about 25%, and we're optimistic that we'll grow at least by another 25 next year. And we're also in some discussions with strategic partners to actually increase the footprint. And there's a couple of other, you can call them synergistic sectors that we're looking at trying to bring together under one roof and with our show that would, over the next 3 to 5 years, potentially double the size of the whole event. So we're very optimistic. And, you could say we dodged a bit of a bullet with the swine flu, because it actually hit after this year's show. But we had a very successful event, and a testimony to that is the fact that that all these large multinationals and larger exhibitors have all signed on, and the first two rows have actually grown an aggregate of 25% for next year. So these are the large companies, investing and committing to what they feel is a good event that's giving them a good ROI in Mexico.
That's very positive to hear, and hopefully, not only next year will we not hear anything about the swine flu, but also maybe we'll hear some more positive notes about the security situation and the police maybe starting to rout out some of that that corruption and organized crime that they've valiantly fought and laid down their lives for.
Yes, the thing is, I think, the fact that you get in the dozens, and that's probably conservative, it's in the hundreds of director level and international visitors that represent these exhibitors, I think attests to the fact that these people that travel to Mexico and come to this event understand that there are security issues, and there are, common sense must prevail. You have to look out for your safety and be aware of that. But the fact that they're there, I think, shows that they feel Mexico is a good place to do business, and that they can go there and do that in with the relative amount of peace of mind, without necessarily just being guided by these, a lot of the doom and gloom that's spread through the media.
Well, George, thanks very much for coming on the program today, and best of luck for next year's show.
Thank you very much. You're most welcome.